interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 462. If you only would, folks. I don't know how much more to say it. You've been watching exactly how the corruption has been on us for decades, what I've been watching. So I was able to talk to you about it, tell you a little bit about it, what to look ahead for, how to anticipate it, how to position yourself. And there's really not many people that want to take up that gauntlet to protect yourselves, and I'm really dismayed. Some of you trying, some of you making a lot more work out of it than it really is. I know I talk a lot. I know I bring up a lot of information. It seems like it's a blizzard. You get the whiteout. But if you just follow the basics, go to the law that you're going to rely on, the foundation, the black and white that nobody can say doesn't exist, that pre-existed everybody, and you go there, and then you support yourself from that, and just do what it says there to start. Make your records on that. Respond through that, even if it's not a record necessarily that you understand as such. It goes a lot quicker, and it's really simple. We don't have to make up a whole lot of stuff here. I try to give you a ton of stuff behind it, a ton of information on support and foundation, so that you know to go look for some more, so you don't go standing there with one bullet in your gun, so to speak, in these days today. War is now breaking out everywhere. It's really the extension of what's happening everywhere. Without this, take away the war footing and just look around you. No different than you can look at what Antifa did and all that BLM nonsense. It made your cities look like a war zone. Yeah, just look at that. It's all there to see. It's all across the world. This is our time in this. And you have to position yourself within that war. There's a couple of layers of the war. And I've been offering you how to look at all that so you can stay out off the train tracks as the train comes by. The train's going to come by, and if you can be there, then you can also set the rail. You can divert the train, set the train, and let it go off the dead end and hit right at the end, and you're not even a part of it. So this is all I'm just trying to offer you in a simple way on approaching this. And I go into here, we're still in February. I may actually do this one more month. Appreciate your donations from Kanukistan. Thank you very much. Out in Hawaii, Florida. Those are the most recent that I have word of. Redneck Dennis, thank you very much for what I understand you did for Vocaster and tightening that up for us there, and your donations there, and your donations and your time. Appreciate all the help and everybody else that's been helped behind the scenes. I really don't get into talk to people too much, so I'm kind of out of the loop a bit. But thank you anyway, and thank you for, again, all your donations that come in. We're doing well. I understand we're doing well with the bills. What I would, I guess, I ask for, if there's additional to have, we actually worked off of last year's donations to show you that, you know, this money is put toward a thing that you say you want that donating to the RLM. It goes to the RLM. Last year's donations, some of which are now going to this year. So we still have a need a bit, I think. And a lot of it, some of it is like we just go for the bills. But what people don't understand is that there's also hardware. I don't mean people. I'm talking people in the network that are running the network. And I think Grimner was finding this as well. Hardware dies. You got to just replace it. So if we can throw another donation up on top, I'd appreciate it. Thank you for the support to this broadcast, just to keep the word going out. As little as I'm seeing responding, I still know there's a few, and all it takes is a couple of you, one of you even. If you may be the one that inspires somebody else, whatever you can do. But I guess and I'm going to get back to a couple emails. Just haven't had a chance. The watchword this week is don't overcomplicate things. And just look for making basic evidence. None of your opinion. Make sure you get the evidence ahead of time. And if you can, use the enemy's own words. The enemy here is our own government, right? The officials in the government. This is what COVID taught us. So, you remember COVID, right? With all this news about Russia. And I want to get on to that part. But I think that's very, very important what's happening in Ukraine. I know people may not think that, but if you step back far enough, and you understand the players, you see, it's no different than what I've been telling you about your usurpation in the States or any place that there's rule of law or they pretend to be rule of law. I don't care what the place is called as far as the formation of the government. But this is what is going on in Ukraine on a couple of different levels. It's really, really fascinating to watch how they play it out. You can't help but see it's by a script. The point is knowing that script is there is not enough. Because they're using that script to come after you. If you don't see that, I am telling you here now, if you haven't heard it before, if you're just tuning in, thank you very much for that too. Please listen. They're coming after your way of life everywhere. This is not a joke about this so-called Great Reset. They gave it a name. They actually came a little too quick. They fell a little bit short. That's what I think you're looking at Ukraine as well. It's not just because of Ukraine. We're now, oh, no one remembers COVID this week. And that's still going. I told you, be careful. They toned it down. They turned down the pot of water down to barely not even simmer. And everyone's going to go away on that. And that's not something you can go away on. Thank you. I am Lone Frog in the RLM chat. Don't be gay. Donate today. Be happy, though, right? Let's be happy. But we do need more donations. This is donation month. That's all we do 1 month. And thank you very much for allowing us to do that. No ads otherwise. And you can contribute to the RLM network by also, I guess I shouldn't say that. I don't know what we can do on the network as far as contribution. It used to be Grimner had an Amazon account. I don't even know if that's still running. Anyway, just look at it. There's some new changes going on. I'm not up and privy to that. And so I apologize for my ignorance even on our own network, but there is a transition going on. And so you're donating to keep us going even in that transition. It is happening. And so, like last year, I was thinking, well, how can I keep on going? It doesn't seem like many people are listening. Yeah, there's a few of you that really do listen. You're in there, and I kind of dedicate my time to those of you that are. I don't want to leave anybody hanging. I want to make sure the questions are answered. And so there's a way, I think, through this. There's a way to make that narrow path for yourself. And this is all, it's for yourself. Okay, everyone has to move, and I know it sounds selfish, but this is where how it works. Case-by-case basis told you it was for you, each one of you. And if you don't proceed on that, and you think you have to kumbaya everybody, it's not your mind is not correctly wired. I'm just going to tell you that. Because I learned this a little while back, for all the help you have, you can be in a group, and everyone's going to help each other. Everybody's, at least you believe, you understand how it's going to work. When someone starts to go down or gets in trouble, how everyone's going to step up, it doesn't happen, folks. It doesn't happen. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what happens. So I'm here to tell you how you can do for yourself, and then when you find the people that also can do for themselves, and this becomes the problem. You find out not everybody's really was up on the same amount of information. You bring yourself the same amount of information. You don't make stuff up. You go, I would say, just go by the code because it's already black and white. You can't make it up. No one can argue it. They may be derelict to it, but they can't argue it. And that's where we're going to sit. All right. Everywhere where you go, I don't care what law you rely on, use the foundation. All right. You use it. You just use it. And so, thank you, Montreal and the Arlen chat. I just looked over about the Tulis court case session. About a week or so ago, excuse me, I don't remember all these dates and times, but if you could go there, and I didn't ask you last week, and it won't matter. At least it won't matter as far as a decision, I don't think, but if you would go there, and if you did go there, and you appreciated how the delivery, the presentation, the facts of what David Tulis, the guy in the center, is talking about, and the lack of response by the two lady attorneys in the bottom of that screen, if you could go give a thumbs up. It doesn't mean anything, but it would show us, give us, he's up to almost 400 views on that. And if you look at the regular court cases, that's starting to move that case up to the top. And whether they really look at that or not, I don't know, because they're supposed to take cognizance of the interest. But if you would, if you did last week and you went there to the TN Courts website on, YouTube account, and you watched and you thought he did a good job, please go back and leave a thumbs up. And if you didn't, maybe you need to go look at that, go find the Tulis case. It's a couple, maybe 5, 10 down the road. And thank you for reminding me on that, Montreal. I forgot to ask about that for you. Donate that way. You know, do what you can to present. Give the information out. Tell people where it's at, especially this broadcast. Thank you for the few of you that are thumbing up, doing the retweets, which is just, to me, Twitter is just so useless in a way, but it still gets to people. And so it's like the remnant out there I'm trying to get to. If you would be consistent to do that for me, on Minds, the Minds views have gone way down, but those of you, some of you are turning in, and you know, every once in a while I get a follow on that. I hope that means that people are listening. I hope that becomes, what I'm saying, becomes a part of them. The methods I'm talking about become a part of you. It's more important. It's really, in a way, it's not what I say, it's what underlies what I say. And I don't, that doesn't sometimes get out so clear, but let me get over, I guess I'm in good company. I should read my first tab and then get me into the tab, but get back to a conversation here. I guess I'm in good company on this because I found on Moon of Alabama website. Like me, he says, the gentleman, I guess it's a he, excuse me if it's not. But like me, many other analysts, Myers-Schreimer did not expect the Russian to move into Ukraine, that a Russian move into Ukraine would happen. Why the Russian government finally decided to take a step is not clear to me. I believe that Zelensky's loose talk about acquiring nuclear weapons from the Ukraine was one of the decisive factors. Who told Zelensky to come up with that? And this is an interesting one. I'm in good hands here, knowing that I said last week, I didn't see that it was in Russia's best interest to invade Ukraine, so-called invade. I guess it depends on how you frame it, isn't it? And this is the interesting part. You really have to understand how they're framing. Listen to the words. And I got another lesson in my not seeing the benefit to Russia. I got another lesson. And when you listen to Russia, you better listen close. They're appearing more and more like they have been. And I fell back. I didn't hold up to the standard. You listen to their words. They're telling you the truth of what's going on. And if you disregard that, well, woe be to you. And I think that's what we're partly looking at here. What I didn't understand and what wasn't apparent to me and what wasn't really promoted, and I think that's to their credit, Russia's credit as well. They did not promote what they end up saying was their problem. They mentioned the problem, but they didn't keep on in international talk what their problem is. It comes out in this. Now this is almost a week old news. And what's going on? I didn't even look today what's happened overnight. It's going almost like molasses, and interestingly so, once I saw what was going on, the lack of explosions on the videos, the lack of activity on the videos started to became more sensible, because it didn't make sense to me looking at all the video feeds and there's nothing going on. You wonder, am I looking at fake video loops and stuff? And then you see this or that go on. Well, there's possibly a reason, and it all came out, if you listen very carefully to what Putin said up front, and you have to go listen for quite a while on their presentation about gearing up to be going into Ukraine, why they accepted the Donbas region for a separate, to make their own republics. That brings up a whole bunch of international law stuff, which the West said was international law violations, and no one said what the violation was, and I'm going to tell you, I don't think that's exactly it all happened, because I went quickly. I guess let me ask you the method. When you hear someone did something in international law relative to the recognition of countries, what is the first thing one of the first things that you ought to do is what? Think about it. See, this is, I'm talking about methods here when I'd go through all this information. For me, it was to go look and see, was there a second recognition anywhere? Because in international law, two witnesses make a fact. All it took was another nation, another country of a status of appropriate status. So again, listen to what I'm saying about you locally at your home. All this stuff matters internationally. It's like you're looking at a reflection of a mirror. The organization in a government is organs like you. They have functioning systems. Your body is a replicant of the body, your body. It has organs that function. They each have a different function. So that's organization, if you can get to that. I don't want to get too lost in that. Let me get back to the point about how you just look at the world. It's a reflection of what's going on in you, too. So if you start to realize it's like all one, right? It's all connected, like Vinny was saying in the Twitter. It's all connected, but you're getting that behind the woodshed, however imperfect it might be. That Putin came out to tell us, and you need to give weight to the words he said. He corrected my misinterpretation like it did to Meyersheimer or the gentleman or woman, the author of Moon of Alabama, when he came out to say that the main two things that were publicized that Russia had a problem with, that where I said it wasn't in Russia's best interest, they determined what their best interest was, which was unapparent to me by what they had said prior. The two words that they used, which reoriented my whole thought, was the fact and the reference to the purpose of the invasion, so-called, the attack, if you will, the protection as well. You understand how they did this. They are coming in on a protective mode, not just to Russia, but to the republics, which had been given lip service to everything, even under international law, even underneath the UN. You see the failure of the UN in all of this, if you look carefully. And please do not believe I am rooting for Russia, because what Russia is going What they're covering is a continuation of what even COVID did. What Greta didn't get done with climate change and COVID was supposed to complete is may not even be completed with the Ukraine invasion, so-called. But they're moving in the globalist agenda is what you find when you fully step back. I guess I'll give you the punchline to this thing. But they justified their action under international law to some. Those that will never agree will never agree. So that's you got to kind of parse that. But the two words they use in Putin's referencing were, and the reports came back, that Russia was going to demilitarize and denazify, if you will. They were working toward the demilitarization of Ukraine and the denazification of Ukraine. And now you have to go back way back to 2014. In fact, I wrote that as soon as I saw those two words, I said, this is a whole nother thing. Literally put that in the email, in the Twitter, really to remind myself. I said demilitarization and denazification as terms is a whole nother level of animosity, which if the U.S. knew, shows an entirely different level of drooling stupid, that's with two O's, S-T-O-O-P-I-D, stupid, beyond Muppet dementia when poking the bear since 2014. Special Operation Putin, Ukraine. Their focus on this brought up, and I guess I should say, and I can't do it anymore, but I studied Russian, I studied the culture, fascinating culture. Not necessarily that I totally agree with all of that, but, you know, people are people. They're all people everywhere, actually. But my fascinating when I was coming through school was I wanted to meet people around the world. I wanted to know about people. I kind of wish I would have went down that trail that I never did. But I learned a bit of Russian. I could read it for a long time. I can barely do the alphabet now. In fact, I'm just now getting to the point where reading, because it's in the news, I'm actually being able to read the words in my mind as they're being put up in closed captioning or whatever. I'm getting back to that, at least that reading proficiency. But so I have a little bit of study, not much. Enough to know you can do the dances, you can do the culture. They are a deep-seated history country and culture and people. You know, and you can't mess with that. That's inbred. It's like part of their genes. And so when he said demilitarization and denazification and referring in historic terms to Nazis, then the Germany, and the thing that they destroyed once, and then he says it, folks, give weight to his words, but they beat the fascists in 45, they're going to do it again. This brings up a whole different thing to start with. A whole different thing to start with. Let me get back to 2014, why I put that in there, because remember the news that was going back about, what, Rothschilds being involved through Soros, and all of that, and what they were doing in Ukraine. And then we hear later the Bidens and all this. So I got a little bit of a discussion on this. I hope it's interesting enough to show us there's a different potential. But really, we have to be careful because for us, it becomes the same servitude that was COVID, that is COVID, that taught us what we as people won't do relative to oppression. That what climate change and how the tactic of using that to circumvent and usurp your world is still behind the scenes of Ukraine. It also serves the purpose of what Putin and Russia need. And it also, they stand on pretty, give weight to their words, all I can say. I've heard people say that the history that Putin was speaking was wrong. But I look around and I look at the principles underlying all it and the foundations that they're using. And he's not that wrong. Do I agree with the war? No, that's a very sad thing for people. But that's what it takes. And this is what Putin also says this. Because you didn't listen to us. You haven't listened to us once. In the meetings, they said, what, they haven't listened? And we know they're not going to listen. So what are we going to do here? That was right before they agreed to bringing the Donbass region in and recognizing them under international law as governments and states themselves, nation themselves. And so this there's a condition that starts up. They immediately after that, they sign mutual aid treaties. And so then I know it looked real quick, and it does look like, and although I did not find the documents to prove it, there are a number of governments, world governments, that are recognized governments, that are also agreeing and or, if you will, recognizing these two agreements. All it took was two, Russia and somebody else. And that can come in different forms, depending on how that works up under international law. So go study a little bit about that. So to me, under international law, this was done. They made mutual defense treaties. They're relying on it. And then we saw right after that Russia was already on the move. Okay, so we've got two levels to think about. remember 2014 and who pushed the overthrow, the regime, whatever regime the West thought was there. The West installed a different regime that was actually supporting Rothschild and Soros. And I don't want to focus on them, except for Rothschild. The support of the money of Rothschild seems to be in lots of these things if we get back into COVID. So just keep that in the back as well, because I think that's, for me, what I talk about behind the woodshed. We've been usurped inside the country. In America, you've been usurped. You've watched it in Kanukistan, which we're going to get back to that in a bit. And again, thank you to Kanukistan for the donations from there. I do appreciate it. Again, just to keep the word out, if you think it's valuable and you have some, and I know it's maybe difficult, if you can give a little bit to the RLM just to keep it going, a few bucks would be here and there, however you can find that, would be great. It just keeps the word up, is all. And then, again, not just even keeping this word up, pass around the links to the broadcast. But moving over back into this, we were told about how this was going to work. Then, if you look at what they're doing and the response of the world, watch how it brings in the things that they're trying to bring in through COVID. Just watch it. It's almost a joke. There's a funny aspect to this that's terrifying in a way, that they're getting their way and we're not saying anything about it. And part of it is us not stepping up locally for each one of us, case by case basis, to start doing a pushback. And I've said before that I admire the protests in Canada, and they're still going. All this stuff's still going on, even though they fell from the news, cycling, as it would, as you would think. There's still a ton more to do. I mean, we didn't even get started in any of this. Okay, so it's time to refocus here. Keep an eye on what's going on in Ukraine, because I said it's a mirror. It will reflect back on what's happening already to you, actually. So getting back to what they were talking about before moving into the Donbass, moving into Ukraine. They say for 3 months the Russians asked for security, but it seemed the U.S. wanted war. Okay? So when you have someone you're talking to that doesn't want to listen, what else do you start to do, especially as a nation protecting yourself? And so Russia, as I said, they're really focused on history, on culture, and preserving that history, and that sacrifice most of all. You will listen to the people that are going, the governmental people in the Donbass area, Donetsk area, and excuse me if you're there listening and I'm getting it quite wrong with who and what, just in the Donbass region, their own governmental officials are going to war. And their reasoning was that we're fighting for the blood shed by our ancestors, our fathers, our grandfathers. I'll just tell you, you don't mess with that. You don't just trip along and mess with that. And I have to give that much to them, because I want it respected in me. Notwithstanding, I look around in the nation, the melting pot, and can't find a culture to rely on, actually. That was one of the weaknesses of the melting pot. At any rate, we got a whole lot of discussion that we could go there, that why Russia is hard to defeat, especially in their own land or when their land is threatened. I don't think people in America have a thought. And I got a little taste, and I'm kind of glad I got the taste, because it's a very interesting view. Anybody came out of the Eastern Bloc, Russia, European countries, and or right at the border before, when there was still the Soviet, which they're trying to make a distinction now from, and we even see that in the new name. I may get to that, the new name of where we are and how to pronounce it, what they've done there. Seeing that culture, talking to people with that culture in them, that history in them, that just dedication to it, they will die for this stuff. It's no different in a way, and more, maybe a little more obscure than what you find the people in Middle East fighting, like Afghanistan. You can't defeat those people. We haven't. Nobody has. So that's it. That's what you're fighting. They won't give up their land, and they'll protect it. And Russia is able to do so anymore. So that's what their reasoning comes from. Their foundation is a very principled place. Whether or not I totally agree with all that they do and stuff, whatever, certainly not my history. I don't have a clue about all that. But I can tell you it's important. It's important to them. Rituals, whatever you want to call them, that's them. It's in them. It's part of their genes. Don't forget this. And so we get to the point, when I heard those two words, the objection was the demilitarization. Listen to what they're trying to do here. The demilitarization and the denazification of Ukraine. It changes the whole thing. And so immediately when the United States, the West became, started to do sanctions as a deterrent, I had to laugh. Sanctions as a deterrent are worthless to people that are defending their land, and in particular to defend the honor of their fallen fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers, no doubt. In fact, that's who they're protecting, their women. And so there's a big deal here. I don't know if people appreciate in the United States or anywhere else, actually, other than these countries that really are. I mean, I wouldn't, I don't necessarily like their politics and all that. Well, they're all the same in some level, and you're going to see that. That's what I want to get to here. But we need to understand what's going on. We need to understand why what we're looking at doesn't start to make sense a bit. That's why I was saying, how come there's no fighting going on or apparent from the cameras? This is a different type of war, and Putin told us that. Give weight to his words. Go back and find them. I don't know if I've got all the links for all that. So once he's protecting, Putin's protecting Russia, or even by the excuse of protecting Russia, deterrent, sanctions are not a deterrent at all. At all. This is like what I referred to before as official buffoons. It's in the history of my broadcast. This thought that sanctions would be a deterrent, we're just dealing with a bunch of buffoons, and this is a dangerous condition against people that'll protect themselves. You're setting up people to die. And I think this may be part of the plan. And this bothers me. I don't know what more to say. This is why how abominable what's going on is, where the West, had it been peacekeeping, could have done that. And they didn't. And I've talked about it last week. We'll go through it again. You can go through, think about it for yourself, what we all could have done before. And this is not even a secret. But you don't make war with people or cause people to go to war. See, that's the other trespass people do. You don't do something to cause someone to think they have to go to war either. So, I mean, I'm pausing here. You really have to think about what's going on. This is a much deeper thing on one level, but it's going to the same end on another. So, the sanctions, there won't be a deterrent because they realize that NATO is expanding. And then what you hear, despite the NATO expansion, we hear everybody, the West, if you will, reduce the entire issue to Putin's personality. And I saw stories here that he's lost grip of reality. All right, but right before that, I'm going to a tab here. Moscow says U.S. embassy, quote, out of touch with reality after dire, quote, terror alert. Before all this, the United States, the State Department, declared there could, to Americans, there could be terrorist attacks in Russia. And so the United States started fomenting within the inside the borders of Russia of terror alerts that had no basis in reality. So we're getting to this thing now. You almost see how this is developing relative to how the propaganda gets built, how the narrative gets built, right? So you got to follow this. Just pay attention to it. So they're saying Putin has lost grip on reality, when in fact they started this nonsense and they continue on. And then right before this happens, they're issuing, you know, to Americans terrorist alerts to something that hasn't happened either. If you look, there's not been any terrorist things, notwithstanding all this nonsense. And so now we see the propaganda kick in. We see who's fomenting it. If you want to keep peace, you don't call someone crazy. They might be, but you don't call them crazy. You work around it. You gingerly step as best you can. There's no compromise here, because if you're actually sovereign, there's no rules. It's literally keeping perception and diplomacy working. That's all. Sanctions don't work. Sanctions become a threat. And then in this case, we heard that they were planned for. And that's another clue. They're planned for. So then we see, what would Russia be able to do to counter the economic things that are promoted to come? And then they do. See, you can predict, you just watch this come out. Again, once they focused in on the fact of the denazification relative to the regime that was installed with Soros and Rothschild in the United States and Biden and his son and all these other people, and the issue going into there with, you see, the Hitlery and all these other things, all focusing on that 2014, then Russia's watching this on their doorstep. The analogy is that Well, what would what happened when Russia put the missiles in Cuba? What did America do? Yeah. Be open to how this may work, but don't be focused on that's the only thing for us, because for us in the States, the mirror, the reflection back is happening to us. And it's in spades on us. And COVID taught me that we won't, as a people, stand up where we need to. We don't even recognize, we'll talk about rule of law, we'll talk about the law, there's no law, no law enforcement, we won't enforce the law that sits there in any appreciable manner. So, they now come out and promote that Putin's, they're attacking his personality. It's like, you know, ad hominem type stuff. It's not factual. Yet, you know, they bring the question about lost grip on reality. So, yet, on the other hand, Putin did get a jab, didn't he? And this brings up a whole other aspect that I couldn't even begin to talk to you about. But, he's putting distance between him, Putin, and everybody else he talks with, except for a few people. That if you read, and I don't know where all this stuff is, I had so many tabs to go through. When you read this information, he's afraid of COVID, which to me, that is a problem, because that's just a common cold. And somebody has talked to him, and he's scared. And so he's not all that up, he's not all that trustable either, if you will. And they developed their own adeno-style virus, like the J&J. Which I think the J&J was made to counter that on the global market analysis type, market share, just to counter it. But they're finding out that one has problems, just like all these things do. But he took the jab. And so if they have the same problems as we see, that we don't get their, I don't get their work, but we have the same potential problems relative to their cognitive function, don't we? So they're making claim that they've lost grip of reality. They don't look at Biden right now, but no, who got the same thing, but lost grip of reality. But he did get that jab. And I've told you, watch out for people that have got the jab. And it would appear, you can almost look at it, yeah, something has changed since then, although don't think they just planned this yesterday. They've been doing this thing for a long time. They've looked at a lot of angles. These people play chess really, really well, remember. So the other problem for me on this jab and Putin being afraid, well, he shouldn't be, because it's a common cold. You know, you should take concern about the flu. It'll kill you. That kind of stuff. But despite the jab's protection, he still puts this distance on everybody. He still puts the mask, has everybody wear the mask. That's another type of paranoia. And so there's a, don't underestimate what maybe the jab is doing here. And that is a, talk about a variable in this whole equation. I really can't project on it all. I mean, there's a possibility. He's still paranoid of a boogie virus. Even though he's supposedly protected by a jab he promoted to everybody else, is the problem of every nation. Okay, so don't underestimate the problem of people that are fearful, even this world leader that is making very difficult decisions and making those decisions nonetheless, and not just walking in and pounding on Ukraine, but they've listed their declaration of independence, if you will, from NATO oppression. Everybody will do this. That's why I'm telling you, that's what you're doing when you show the law's been broken. You show the foundation in the code that the duty upon the official was to meet, that they have not met it, they're derelict, and upon that dereliction, you don't have to move any further, and you give notice of that. Your declaration of independence from their tyranny, right? It's really simple. Don't overwhelm it all. Don't, you know, like I said before, people make so much talk, and I did it too before. But I don't like writing so much because I can't so well. I can't type so well. I make lots of errors. I got to do lots of things. I don't like doing it. But it's there. I have to do it. It's the only medium I have right now. And so you try to make a shorter work of the work, and you make it quality, more quality. So in all this Ukraine stuff, you still remember the pandemic, right? This is what underpins all this, part of all this, as they move this thing in into the next iteration once people started figuring it out. But they figured it out. They may be figuring it out, but they're not really moving into the things they should do. And so that's, the occupier doesn't want the natives doing what they're supposed to do. They just want them to think about it. And you're watching this transition. It's really simple. But whatever this, you know, lost the grip of reality thing, where the United States has seemingly lost its own grip of reality in all this, what Russia was demanding essentially was that and I think the UN would have said this too, and this is a shame, that the Ukraine government, the regime, the Nazis that moved in underneath the promotion of the United States and support, Russia has been saying stop persecuting Russian-speaking people, Russian-speaking population in that country. And so they were persecuting Russian-speaking people, and they were denying them the language. And that right off the bat should have said something. Why would you stop that in your own people anyway? But this is what they were doing. That was all contrary to the UN as well. But they also asked Russia was actually reject being a base for foreign missiles. So they're recognizing Ukraine was separate. And they're saying that you can't be, or they said you can't be actually, because there was agreements not to. You can't make Ukraine a place for NATO to put its missile bases. It's only like 20 minutes, maybe even not even that distance by missile to Moscow. This is just an untenable, defensible condition. There's no defenses to it, actually. Well, I guess there is, but it's just so precarious. So they said, no, you reject, overtly make a statement, Ukraine, that you reject that there's going to be foreign missiles on your land. Even though you watch them starting to be put in now, that's all what Russia was asking for, and also to overtly reject joining NATO at all. Don't make it a question. What's interesting about this is that we see this is also on the heels of that a potential threat that Zelensky made, the leader of Ukraine. Putin turns immediately over to what Finland and Sweden and says, don't you dare think about entering NATO, which are on the fence at this point. So this is a very, very volatile condition. This simple statement that people would bring NATO, which is supposed to be defensive and wasn't supposed to be expanding, brings them right up to Russia's back door. And if you look very carefully, you see a string of countries that ought to be neutral at least. And that's all I think Russia was asking for all this time. So how crazy is that? They're saying don't oppress the Russian-speaking population in the country, don't put foreign missiles threatening us in your land, and agree to become an enemy's defensive posture organization that's actually attacking in an attack posture. How crazy is that? If we're going to make a discussion about Putin is crazy on the personal attack. I looked at that and I said, well, that's fairly reasonable, right? I mean, if you look at what's going on and you think about your own land and you got an unruly neighbor that's unpredictable, you'd want a little bit of a demilitarized zone between you. It made sense to me. Taking someone's language away from them seems to be wrong. So asking that to not be done, it seems pretty clearly not insane. And then not becoming a party to an ally, to someone that is your enemy, seemed to make a lot of sense. When you look at it from the defense, from the Russian standpoint, when you look at what they said, give weight to the words right before they acknowledge the Donbas region, then you see what Russia's telling the world. It really wasn't really a threat. This was a declaration of the independence from a tyranny that's coming under the color of authority that has no basis. And you saw a lot of that basis evaporate when the only thing they can do is sanctions. And I toned myself down on what can happen here. I mean, everyone's talking World War III. That would only be if the West wants World War III, because there's no actual law allowing what's going on for the Western help or incursion to protect. This is simply a squabble at this point. And I know people are dying around a squabble, but that's the problem with war. So they call Putin crazy. The West does crazy stuff by calling terrorist attacks to come in on Americans in Moscow that never happened. And then we hear Zelensky seemingly adding the last straw to the load, mentioning obtaining nuclear weapons just prior to this. And I don't know if all this is actually like last straw and things. I don't know what was sitting in the Russian people's minds, the Russian leaders' minds, but it certainly couldn't help. Well, who told him that? What's Moon of Alabama talked about? Who told Zelensky to say that? Why would you say that? I just don't even know. I just get dumbfounded at some level. What are people thinking? Well, they're not. This is all war. This is all to an end. They do it for an end. So just keep track of that, even if we don't really fully understand it. And we'll have to wait to see, but that's what you're looking at. Don't get so wrapped up in this. I really feel bad. I've been kind of focused on watching what's going on. I don't like the people are dying and hurting and all that. It really bothers me. And it bothers me because I know people are hurting in every country and all the governments are doing it to their people. And I kind of look at that and say, what do people do when they get this force coming in? And it's supposed to be benevolent to you and then it's attacking you. Is what I have told you, we exist in this country. It's what the government here is doing to us that I wrote my petition against. You know, it led to paper instead because why? Since I'm the terrorist now because of the white hats of the good people, as David Tullis would say, the good people have declared me the terrorist. I guess I get to carry an AK-47 with a 30-round clip. Big deal. Big deal. And so we've got to go a different way. That's what diplomacy is supposed to be. That's what the black and white is supposed to be. It's why I opt to it first, knowing that the ultimate answer is going to be defending yourself in a way that may actually take you out. And that's really not an object, I think, actually. So you need to go, you know, so here's something more crazy. You got to really listen to this. Yeah, this is where it centers on what Putin said, some things, his words, that's their focus. And they also said, well, we're going to, you got to go listen to this so you know he said it and it came out of his mouth. That he's going to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine to create security for Russia, the very thing that the West was denying to them, meaning the people there as well. Because if you notice, he also said they're going to go in, they're going to clean up, the demilitarize this, they're going to denazify this condition, and then we're going to leave. Well, obviously, they're going to set up a political structure that's going to be more conducive to Russia, but they're going to leave. That told me we're not going to see the destruction. He's not attacking the people. In other words, those Ukrainian people and the Russian-speaking people, they're all really much brothers. They come from the same ancestry. And I haven't seen Putin to be that ruthless at this point, to be killing all of them. And it would be not behoove him to destroy his infrastructure. So he told told the world, we're going to go in, clean it up, and move back out. With the concession, it would be a new government. There wouldn't be it would be the one that wouldn't threaten them. Because that new government's going to have to make these stipulations that the current Nazi regime would not do. The Nazi regime, like the Azov, battalion, whatever. Those people, ultra neo-Nazis, are killing Russian population ruthlessly. So he said he's going to go in, and then they're going to remove themselves. And I thought, looked at that, I go, that means they're not going to be hurt. They're not really hurting the people as much as they can, as much as war would allow them. And boy, you know, I almost had to feel good about seeing that in his words. Later, when I couldn't tell that there was a war going on so much. And the pictures I was seeing coming from the war looked like they're all like Photoshopped or something. Or composite type stuff. Rockets coming from jets that didn't even look like they could be there, shooting through trees that don't move, all this other nonsense, that don't have explosions and all this other stuff. It's just nonsense. Can't even believe my own eyes anymore. And so we have to wait. But I didn't see in the pictures, unless they were loops, that there was a lot of damage going on. And there's going to be some. And there's going to be some mistakes. But he's not going in and he's not destroying. He's not, slash and burning like the Americans do. So that might answer why. His saying, we're going in to clean the place up and then we're moving out. And we don't know. We hope to trust that. Leave the people back to where they were meant that he was going to protect those people as best as he could. And not do the American style slash and burn. And so my mind was going in without this other context. The denazification and the demilitarization of Ukraine against Russia. When I refocused on that, what he's saying makes a total lot of sense for me. And I'm just hoping that works out for the people there. So he's told to give weight to the word that their intention is to strategically strike the current Nazi regime and military. That doesn't relieve us of maybe my feeling I don't like to see it, but what do you do when you have a neighbor that wants to set up to attack you? I don't really have a total answer other than when it happened to me in the past, I've had to take some pretty stern measures. And so all these conditions, when you look at them, should expose the monumental failure of the UN as a peaceful mission and organization. As we've identified over, a lot of you will know this. I mean, a lot of people are seeing this. I'm not even talking about new information in some regard. There's so many people seeing the script, if you will. It's like I feel at peace a bit. I'm almost feeling like, what else do I talk about? My problem is that no one's responding to their knowledge. And I don't know what more to do. I just keep talking about that. And I don't really know how more to impress people that they do have to take the action that I suggest and or tell me how they found a different way that doesn't, that they can still get the, don't have to rely on a black and white, don't have to respond on May on record, don't have to challenge the system. They can do it a different way. And I'm not talking about just walking away. You can't walk away from this. They're coming after you, whether you recognize it or not. But so the UN peacekeeping mission and organization, as an organization, is exposed for the failure. In other words, you look back and you say, for instance, when Ukraine denied the eastern inhabitants their Russian language and anything Russian, and Zelensky continued that condition, the UN should have condemned that given its it purports to support every people are guaranteed their language and cultures, etc. You know, if you go look at what they're supposed to stand for, essentially the people are guaranteed the I think it's 7 or 8 guaranteed off limits things under international law, even in war, like the museums and the sciences and the schools and libraries and all these cultural centers, all that is preserved to people. UN never stood up for the people, the Russian-speaking people, when the Ukraine regime, as we see, Nazi, Russian-hating people, denied them their own language. So the UN is, I don't care, right now, I don't care about what the UN says anymore. I don't care about the Security Council, and you can see Russia doesn't care either, as they vetoed the Security Council measure that's going on to the main conference. But who cares, since they're impotent, and we can see historically, they work to destroy countries for some benefit. Typically, it's a monetary gain, if you look. Like the Republic of Congo is always comes to mind about how they destroyed that place. Came in as a peacekeeper and ended up being the portal that they use, the conduit for the destruction of a real republic that protected protected rights and things and did commerce right and prosperous, real prosper, not the austerity they've redefined. So the UN didn't support any of that, right? So they continued as well. And no country complained about this. To me, that's no different than the Israelis and the Palestinians, which you find out in the background, the Israelis are working on, the Zionists are working in this. Completely consistent when you just look in between things and start noticing. And they're instituting the same cultural apartheid as Israel has, and nobody says a thing. It's fascinating. Everyone looks right past that. But we kind of know that. Anybody who's in on the take, in on the scam is going to promote their side, aren't they? And then we see that Putin's supposed to be the crazy one here. Well, in a way, they're all kind of crazy. But if we're going to take a side, and I caution us on doing so because of what the ultimate goal ends up being, how the world movers and shakers move the world and shake it. And you're along for the ride unless you stand up locally. This is what I want you to start focusing on, what I've been talking about for a long, 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 long time, probably forever, even though before I even understood how I was actually focusing, what we were, and it kind of focused me when we did our lawsuit in 2013. All this touches all that, surprisingly. We were given the problem of the inaction. See, beyond all this stuff with Ukraine, people everywhere are repressed. We go to Palestinians and Israelis, or we go to what the Azov battalion was doing against the Russian-speaking people in the Donetsk, Donbass area, Luhansk, And even outside of that, that's the only ones that they can protect at the point. You see, people are just repressed by other people. It's really not love thy neighbor. It's not goodwill on earth, peace to man, and all that stuff. It's none of that. I don't agree with it, but it's really Machiavelli was telling us the truth. Now remember why he did that. He wanted to gain favor too. So be careful on what you're looking at all and all of this stuff. Really have a critical mind as best as we can. The COVID proved the people, all repressed people, all oppressed people will sit idle. So in some regard, it could be said, what's the difference of the flag flying over any land that gets special consideration to further the repression described to be fascist? This is the thing where I start to pivot, if you will. I get to pivot and say, you know, it doesn't matter the flag. This is like where they're destroying nations and states. It doesn't matter because there's another thing working. And people will, repressed people will stay that way. And it does take revolutions. Hopefully we won't have to do it armed. And that's why partly why the United States is, what did they do in Ukraine? Watch. They had to issue the right to have a gun. And that every one of those people did not have a training in that gun necessarily, or how to do it, or how to fight a foe coming in, an enemy. And so they're fodder. And they were planned to be fodder. I just don't see how this works otherwise. And what drives that? It's the war machine that drives that. The money outside the country. Doesn't matter who's, you're going to die. So what do? The United States is not going to see that, so they're doing it a different way. But that you see where you don't have guns, you even get handed a gun by the government and it's not going to help you. Because it takes more. It's like the Constitution. I'm going to say about the Constitution. I think I said it on Twitter. You know, you got constitutional rights. You have to assert those. It doesn't protect you. It doesn't do any. It just sits there. It's like the gun just sits there. Do you know how to use it? Do you know how to use it when it's not working? Do you know how to get it fixed? Do you know how to use it with others mutually? You know, there's a whole different levels of application. That's why I kind of understand when I'm talking about the stuff in the black and white, the law, the codes, whatever, the policies. People get confused for some reason. There's one thing to read about it. It's quite another to start working it. And then where I've gone with it, that's moving into a whole other realm. It's not unknowable, but it does take a bit of experience in watching how things work. And let me go get into, before I move on into the repression part of the COVID, I did want to point out something on another link here. We're talking about the historical moment when Russia recognized the sovereignty of Donbass. There's a list in this link. It says Zelensky had discussed the events of the last hours of Biden and promises to talk to Johnson. So we got the UK involved. Number two, the European Union will respond with sanctions to Russia's recognition of DPR and LPR. The heads of the European Commission and the Council said that they're starting to see the setup of the coalition cohorts and conspiracy against this. You don't see any reference to law at all, no objective basis. You see just conspirators. And then number three, media reports the former president of Ukraine, Viktor Yushchenko, left the country, which, okay, fine. That's really, I don't even understand what the point about that is. Lots of people were leaving lots of places. War can do that. You have to take your best position. And then it says, after Putin's decision to recognize the sovereignty of DPR, LPR, a holiday was celebrated in the main square of Donetsk. People came out with Russian flags. Fireworks were launched and into the sky, telling you the people there generally, and by referendum there, you see the whole, they did a whole, if you will, democratic process to get where they were. Same thing they did in Crimea. They were celebratory over this recognition. And I think they should be. Absolutely. Anybody, any self-determined people would necessarily be. Now, this is not necessarily also free of the support. They did make a mutual defense pact. That's another point. But number five here was here talking to where I've been going this whole discussion to show you be careful when we get too tied up and he said, she said, what side, all this other stuff, when they're going to move, they're moving the agenda. And this fifth one caught my eye, and that's why I put it up here, this one line in the tabs. A Serbian president says Putin's decision on Donbass completely changes the world order. Completely changes the world order. Now, I looked at how does that actually do that? Now, I did see some stories talking about the shift of power and the multipolar and all that. Okay, fine, that's sitting there. But when you talk about the world order, we're not talking about just a world order that is political, geopolitical. We're talking about the new world order, the new transformed world order. And immediately out of Serbia comes this statement that Putin has done that to that world order. The same Great Reset order. That caught my eye, and I said, okay, that's more in line with what's really going on here. And now things for me started to make a lot more sense in the fog of war. That I said last week didn't make any sense why Russia would benefit, that they weren't benefiting from it all. But we start to see they benefit on lots of reasons. Whether anybody outside can understand that is irrelevant too. The sanctions, that's someone else's opinion. And you heard that Russia has been setting up another system inside to be able to disconnect. And don't underestimate the power Russia has over Europe relative to its energy system. I want to focus on Nord Stream 2. You think that's the only pipeline they don't have? Please, go look. Go look. Thank you, Vin. I just look over at false fronts and stalking horses. Yeah, just, I can't dismiss it all, but you have to place it in proper things. So, to me, that made a lot of sense now. Completely changes the world order. This is going to that great reset, folks. I'm just letting you know. And I can show you, that's why I got the tabs. I didn't even know what to pull from. I had, again, maybe 100 tabs to try and make this broadcast. I pared it down, and I don't even know how good I do to get the word out. The tabs will tell you a story, and there's more that you can see if you want to gear up. And so get back to the fascist people are repressed by governments. And Putin, for his own reasons, are going to go take out some fascists that were repressing people. They'll put on their own type of repression, but it's going to be something that's amenable for everyone. So everyone, because the people just want to live in peace. Everybody from Donbass that lives there, old folks, just say, listen, we just want to live our life and live our peace. We've lived all our life here. Let's live. Let us alone. Let us speak our language. And the Zelensky group wouldn't let it go. So the U.S. is okay with supporting what is described as a Nazi government regime defended by the Azov Battalion, which is known as neo-Nazi group. And the people of the U.S. are okay with that. And why, see, we have our people watching when they're silent. They don't, they just keep responding. The United States government is supporting a neo-Nazi group that defends, in a military sense, defends the regime in Ukraine. Don't forget this connection. And the people of the United States are okay with that, while the U.S. also condemns truckers as some sort of same similar extreme right or Nazi movement, don't they? If Putin is sick, then everyone saying so is sick, folks. And so you can't get into that insanity. You cannot embrace the insanity. All this is insane, but you can't embrace it that way. There's a way to embrace it, but it's in a point of action, not in a point of determining and critical thought and making decisions. And then when I look at people who are saying that everyone else is sick, most of them, if not all of them, they all got that jab, didn't they? Right? Well, they all got that jab and they're all bit. So folks, what's the excuse for the rest of y'all that didn't get the jab, see this nonsense, and just sit there and watch it as it is going to be shown, I hope I can do it today, it's going to be shown to be moving to advance the transformation of the world order. We can focus in on the new world order. There is a new world order which has nothing to do with your countries. That runs as a veneer over the top of all countries, and these countries take advantage. All the money maker, all the oligarchs within every country. You don't think that Biden and Trudeau and are not oligarchs. They're all promoting their own scam, their own fiefdom. And the black and white was supposed to sit there to stop it, and no one's resorting to it is my dismay, but anyway, that's the way it works. And until we see that, until we start to work better to figure that out and work against it, I think this thing is going to continue, and hopefully, I don't know. I don't know how bad it gets before people finally started to see it. I hope it. We were talking of an answer in the trivia was the Donner Party. I hope we don't get to that level where we're in such austerity and such a dark winter that we start eating each other as the zombies we become because we were too slow and stupid maybe to act before that came to that. So this is what my view is. I think we are in some real trouble. We have the leaders that may very well be affected by their own decisions. They were lied to as well, because potentially someone that's paranoid of a boogie virus that doesn't exist and it isn't aware enough to see that, that also has to run a country that does see a legitimate threat. It's all sitting in cover. And the ultimate transformation here happens through it and by the very actions everybody is taking. It's really, really genius what's going on. If there is a thought that a knowledge, and I wonder if there's, I don't know if I can say, I believe there is an overarching knowledge of this place, this world, that actually has the pulse on how everything responds and actually pushes those buttons. And it seemingly a chaotic sense is actually organized through recognizing natural processes in response to stimuli. And so, again, you see the natural international law coming is that you have to have a reason for what you do. We saw that in the news. Putin orders the peacekeeping units to go into Ukraine because he's going to stop these Nazis that are sitting threatening his country. It's a good reason. It's a plausible reason. And nobody else can make that decision because nobody else is threatened by it. And they were given every opportunity, and I do believe that the Russians do this. They gave every opportunity, and I was watching the news, to stop the problem. And all of the United States had to do is give a couple concessions, which would not have hurt the whole thing. It would have stopped the NATO expansion, that's for sure. That's for sure. But that's the problem, too. And so you saw them make the declaration for the Donbas region. Then they're coming in as a mutual aid in peacekeeping. Then he says, but the whole Ukraine government is a threat. And by a term named who they were going to eliminate. He didn't say all of it. And so it's going to be interesting to watch how they strategically and surgically take out exactly what they said was going to happen. Why? Because their word is important to them. They may make blunders. They may make mistakes. And they may do stuff, like your neighbor may do something you don't like. But if it's plausibly reasonable to them, like any judge would give to you, like I've told you, my very first court case dealing with the system in the courts was a traffic ticket, a parking ticket no less, that I walked in and I told the judge, but that sign was over there, 2 feet, 2 feet or 3 feet over. It didn't pertain to where I was, just outside of that line, and therefore that notice was not for me. And he said, well, I can don't agree with you, but I can see how you could think that, and so case dismissed. That was my very first court case, long, long time ago, obviously after I started to drive with my license, didn't know a thing, who cares anyway, but I noticed there's a line you can find. I've used that, again, I told you, I've used it till today, making a record that says, here's the law, here's what we thought about it, it's plausible, it's reasonable, and even if we're wrong, we're not culpable to crime. And so that's part of this deal. That's why I say make your records of your plausible record. You can still be wrong. I'm not saying try to be wrong. What you do is you be right. But if they can't plausibly show how you couldn't be reasonable, then they also can't show you that you're culpable. And this is all you're watching in the international order. I said just look at it as a mirror for what you need to do through Putin, not necessarily take on his cause, but watch what their government organs of a body are doing, like your organs of your body do for you, in responding to a threat. Whatever your opinion of another is irrelevant because you don't have that decision to make. Only until they attack you or threaten, then you get to start saying, hey, whoa, hold it. And so we have the agreement. The international agreement seems to come for the region on the breakaways, if you will. They made new republics. And then they enter into a peacekeeping mutual defense. Russia moves in and then identifies that the regime, as they claim, in Ukraine is the threat because of Nazification. And the demilitarization is they want to take the military power out of the nation. It doesn't necessarily mean they want to take out the military. They want to take out the ability to be a threat. They're not, in my mind, if I take them literally and give them weight to honest words, they live by the honor of their word. And I can tell you, I believe that. After studying it a bit, they do think that very highly of that still. Maybe we don't too much, but they do. And when you hear him talk about going to nuclear, I don't think he's talking about a threat. He's telling you that's a deterrence. For you, you want to talk about deterrence? Go ahead and think about it, because we're there too. We have that capability, and we've worked that through. What that's going to happen. When we go there, you're going to see things happen you've never understood before. That's their plan. He doesn't say he's going to. You see the West starting out with that. Zelensky, like, we could get the bomb. We could get the nuclear power. They already had it, right? So this is just nonsense. But anyway, so an interesting discussion. I don't necessarily agree with the Paul Craig Roberts a ton, but he comes up with some certain things. I don't know about him too much. I'm a little leery, but this story here, this thing he writes, his article, Baiting the Bear is Becoming a Dangerous Game, I think he does a great job. I think you need to look at it. He probably has a better insight. He comes up with very similar, more comprehensive discussion on all the issues around this. I think it's very important to understand this more comprehensively. I will direct you to this. The points he's making are seem to be very pertinent. And I think poking the bear. I mean, why are we doing that at all? I mean, if you just take it naturally, you wouldn't poke a bear. You just won't do it. And I know this may be an analogy, but you just don't do it to people that are this principled in their culture and history and protecting themselves and having a history of having to protect themselves. It's beyond a dangerous game. But in this case, Paul Craig Roberts, I think he nails it fairly well. And I'd like to have you see it because I want people to see there's a bigger thing going on. And then I want to remind you, I'm talking about something even different than this as we move it through. And then I have a tab here to, because I thought, Mandela effect. Yeah, I know, things change and we don't keep up, or they just change them on us on the internet because nothing's stable on the internet. It's hackable, remember? You can even self-hack, I suppose, self-inflicted wounds. Is it Kiev or Kyiv? 5 things to know about Russian capitals under siege from Russia. From the Miami Herald, I thank them for giving me this knowledge. I didn't even know they changed the name, but when you go and look real careful, it's not even how they're pronouncing it. What this is more of a political change that happened, and you'll find that they'll explain how this KYIV is now replacing KIEV, and this the pronunciation, and also it's not the Ukraine they tell us, it's because it's just you take off the, it's just Ukraine. And what this has to do with is a political decision. It's not the Ukraine, which is a region. And the Kyiv saying it that way, it does not acknowledge the prior Soviet rule. Now, how a name actually recognizes means that, we should have seen a lot of name changes over time if I was going to look at adjunct policy coming to the United States and changing places. But we do deal with that when we see the state of something or the state something or the Oregon, like Oregon State, Washington State of, it's all different. Yeah, that kind of thing's going on here. But neither here nor there, but it's interesting to have to understand, because I'm looking, why are they calling it Kyiv? Well, I started looking at it. This is a kind of an interesting little tab, because they actually go through, someone's explained how you're supposed to pronounce. What I want you to do, and I won't take the time here, is I sat here, and I looked at this, and I kept applying the rule, and it occurred to me, they're just trying to get away from the sound of Kyiv, and when they explain to you how you're supposed to pronounce K-Y-I-V, they don't even follow their own rule. If you focus on that, they say the Y sounds like a I in the word little, ki. And I in the language sounds like E. So they're not even, Kyiv is not how you actually pronounce that, if I have this understood. It's ki, ki, li, little, ki, li, Kyiv. It's not Kyiv, it's Kyiv. And so we get away from saying Kyiv. And all of that is a political thing. It's a political, but they even call it here, a politically correct term. So I'm confused. I'm not corrected. I still call it Kyiv. How's that? I still call it Kyiv. Because that's what I was taught, and I don't know about political things anymore. I think it's all a fraud, and who am I talking to anyway? Who listens behind the woodshed that it would matter? You know, if you're someone from Kiev. I suppose we could get into a discussion on why don't you sound the short I, like the word little. What is that contortion? And what difference does it eventually make when you're then agreeing to be of a new regime that agrees to be Nazi? What is that? So I did find this little thing because I was confused. I saw everybody, all the news, the MSM talking Kiev. What do you mean Kiev? So I found the maps. They've changed the maps. Oh, that's Mandela effect, I guess, right? Well, I thought it used to be Kiev. Well, it used to be, and there's a political reason for it, and there's a pronunciation that I don't agree with actually being pronounced correctly. And so when you get down into the pronunciation of the words, it could mean something. If you listen to people like Patrick Lancaster, he's on the ground in the Donbass region. He's moved out. He's moving with the Donbass militia, went out, and he speaks the language and doesn't pronounce things certainly very as well. And boy, I'll tell you what, people pick up on how you miss an inflection. And so it matters, folks. It matters, and it matters what that word will be. I'm not going to be sitting here to tell you what it all is. I'm just telling you that there's a bunch of nonsense going on that we can get all focused on. I'm just going to go back to, I'm just not that smart. I call it Kiev. If I recognize the Soviet, well, maybe that's a good smart thing because they're going to be there to take that place on again. And hopefully they're going to do it in a more surgical way. I don't know. We will see. War is what they say. What is hell? Yeah, it's not cool. In fact, every military people I know, I've heard, they all said they do not wish war. They do not want people to go to war. They will not train their sons and daughters to be fighting men or women. They do not agree. It's like it's something that you needed to do, but not something you want to do. And I totally agree. I totally agree. So, what do we have here from the West? More and more nonsense. They want to foment this thing more and more. They're looking for ways to foment. All right, so we hear that in all the news, if we're just paying attention. Why would you do that? If you wanted to make a neighbor of somebody, and it irritates me to hear Putin and the Russians say that everyone's their colleagues and partners. They're not. They call it that way, but that all comes from what? That's a word. Partners is a word. It's telling you what they're intending to do on the end game. It has to do with the New World Order. It has to do with what happens when everyone puts the sanctions on Russia. They're telling you what they're doing. It's just going to take a while to get there. And so if we don't address that, we're in real trouble, as I've said. But people need to learn real quick these various threats and begin to eliminate them. Or any freedom anyone thought of having is soon going to be lost. And boy, you saw that up in Kyrgyzstan, didn't you? And then what happened? A little bit of outcry, a little bit of overreach, and it even scared the globalists. They pulled back that emergency up there. Did you watch that? That was actually pretty funny. So I've been, just get back to what do I try to do behind which, based on all this looking at it, I'm going to get some more back to this NATO fomentation, because it's important to watch how someone will you can tell how they're not wanting to be peaceful. It's, again, it's indeed, folks. You know them when you see them, you know them by what they do. And so what I've been trying to do, I've been providing various tools on how to go about responding to this, now back in our local neck of the woods, if you will. Not to be confused with redneck Dennis. Maybe the same. Same area, right? Where we live, folks. Offering tools to do what you need to do without jeopardy. So we watch what's coming down. We watch the aggressor, the oppressor, the repressor. We watch what people and sovereigns, if you will, nations will do. We understand organization means organs, and we understand that our organs reflect and mirror what goes out. The governments were established like we were created to, and we function the same, which reflects back to we have an action. We're not a part of it. And all this stuff that's allowed to go on goes on because there's no one to make a statement otherwise. Notwithstanding the UN's triviality, right? That they should have said something and didn't, and you're watching. And now it goes to war, or it can, and this one did. No one took the Russians on their word, which they value very high. And I believe that. I believe in looking at their culture and studying the culture, and you will. We lived the culture when I was younger. We, you know, in You immerse yourself with certain things. You start speaking the language. You read it. You want to, you know, I was wanting to learn multiple languages, so that was just part of the, I wanted to go around the world. And so that was just what you did, because that's just the thing you do. And so I have a little bit of an insight. And I was taught by two Russian instructors, right from the Russia. They came to America. They were Americans. But they had the culture in them, and they would tell us what was good and the bad. And so I got a kind of interesting insight. If you haven't had that, I don't know what to say. It's really an interesting insight. Just like looking at, that's how I think I appreciated other cultures. I may not agree, but they have their reasons and they do things a certain way, and they have their certain way they approach life, and it doesn't shirk from responsibility, that kind of thing. It readily stands up to protect itself, no matter what seems to be the excuse. They run it right down to brass tacks, and we're going to find out who has them and who don't, and who's going to keep messing around, and who we're going to stop when they do that. So in the face of all this, I've been offering how we might be able to avoid all that. And so I'm a little puzzled when I'm laying stuff out about the question or the confusion that people have standing, you know, they want to stand in front of that proverbial tank in the square. Well, but that wasn't in Proverbs. Okay, maybe you get my drift here. That you think that's standing in the square in front of a tank is going to be adequate when the wider world could care less. Remember, you only get traction standing in front of a tank if the world sees it and sees it properly and cares. But right now, they could care less. Really, COVID told us that. So what we're watching with people that will move some of this forward, and even with the higher officials, if you will, the ones that are making the decisions, it's a lot of virtue signaling. And it's not a substance. It's just a form that we buy into, that we agree. We forget that we think that it doesn't, it's not the substance of being free. It's not moving toward that free, being free. It's to stop the multi-front war against us, which continues without our participation in stopping it unabated. As you watch, you're going to watch this whole thing as we get to the point here. As I move this thing from a war into the transformation of the world order, as you see the response almost by a script that everyone notices, but don't maybe see what that means and where you're going to have to position yourself. And so we have the ideas moving in. We watch the words, we watch their things, and I look at these words that they use at an international level and say, well, we can use them at home as well. We just have to tie them to the black and white. That then puts the official on the other side. Another, this case, we see NATO leader says Belarus will pay for being an enabler in the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So now that was denied, but you're now an enabler. Okay, so consider that part. As they also said, the NATO chief says cyber attacks could trigger an Article 5 response from NATO, where cyber attacks would attack a NATO member, and then that triggers their mutual defense pact to go after Russia through Ukraine. You're watching people foment this attack, and why you see Russia doing the comments it's doing in order to counter that. And they went after the cyber attacks because remember since Snowden told us, they can hide who they are. All these cyber attacks are a vast place to hide relative to this statement and causing cyber attacks from Russia that essentially become what we understand as a false flag, committing them against ourselves. As we see a very dangerous statement here talking to cyber attacks triggering our Article 5, where NATO could get militarily involved. And so they're rattling this saber that almost has plausible view, plausible point, and then they call Belarus an enabler. They're now expanding this condition on someone who is in the sphere of Russia. And then they start moving in on a potential unprovable ability, which is the cyber attack. And I want you to reflect that back to you. Remember, they can do that to you, the cyber attack, as we move our, moving this world into a new world order, this new technocratic order. There's cyber attacks that they are could be claiming that they would claim happened from someone to you or someone to them, and they blame you for it. Relative to what? They call the terrorists. What do you think they did when I talk about the truckers? What do you think they did to the people that donated to the truckers? They did the same thing. You enabler. So don't underestimate the global structure of this, the tactic that's used across militaries to do the very same thing. And I want to point out, don't forget it, that's sitting, the military is always sitting there, always, to be the actual enabler of the destruction around you. So get the words out from them. Just take them as notice what they're willing to do. I got a link here to the NATO guy saying it. So he says it. You get to hear it. You have to hear it. He says that Belarus is an enabler. So you start moving in through that tack. And then I have to wonder about that. And I made a Twitter comment to that to, again, remind me that if Belarus is an enabler, what's the invasion of crackpipe Biden, his son, and NATO, neo-Nazi, since 2014? Again, don't forget what happened in 2014 against the Ukraine itself, when the people, the Russian-speaking people, were not under attack. So I say, what if Belarus is an enabler, what do you consider the invasion of a crackpipe Biden's, his son, and NATO, the neo-Nazis since 2014, where the NATO leader says Belarus will pay the price for being an enabler in Russia in the invasion, where we also have here what they consider, when we consider the extreme far right being a freedom convoy in Canada. And doesn't that start to make sense as you start to pull how they twist the terms and words of what they'll support and what they'll attack, all in the same breath, essentially? So you're penalized and arrested for contributing to peaceful protests while the government provides material to establish and protect fascist regimes abroad. Is that sane? Is that still a continuing question to people? If it is, we really, as a people, are not paying attention to what the so-called leaders are doing in our name. That I believe is locally, we're able to start to set our foundations locally. And they really have no capacity once you start taking away that type of consent of the government. So, this is a fomenter. The United States and the West and NATO don't mean peace. In other words, we can just, anything that comes out of their mouth is really a setup for a takedown, and we need to understand that. We need not to get into, I don't need to get into sides here on the who wins the war. I need to be able to understand who's running the principles better and correctly, that in the future we can trust a lot better, and or does it reflect on us on how we've been mistreated? And we see the writing on the wall here in this, we can look at this war and this incursion, whatever they want to call it, and we can take notes. If you don't think the military's taking notes on how Russia's pulling this off, going around strategically taking places out, you're missing what the military now does. So this is another aspect. Get them to go ahead and attack, and we'll watch how they do that. And it looks like they're taking a lot of the, Russia's taken plans out of what we did, the United States of America did, in the Middle East. And so everyone's watching and learning on how you go about doing this. And in the middle of all this time, we have Zelensky above Ukraine asked Israel to mediate with the Russians. Now, where did they rate? But here they are, the Zionists, sitting right there. And if you understand what happened in 2014, you understand Zelensky's going to the Zionists, the same regime that was helped put in place to foment the problem against Russia. And so this guy Zelensky is pretty well, you know him by his deeds. It's pretty simple. Anyway, I just read the story, the title, you can read through it. I read for consistency, it's there. Now, remember, the Israelis also asked Russia to help get their people out. Who are they playing, both sides of the fence or not? Can you just watch this, please, and see how this game is played? And they're playing this game against you at home on other areas and different subject matter. On almost everything. Don't even forget the COVID by itself. This is on about every subject matter. And if you understand that you were supposed to be a free people and the consent of the governed, then you understand what I'm talking about. We have not wanted to be a free people, and we have consented as the governed to whatever oppression we now feel and suffer. The David Tulis case, I hope you all went and saw that. I hope you saw and take that for the truth you witness. The very fact you're watching a hearing on appeal on a fraud of the government against the people, and you're watching an appeal on that case, should have told you all you needed to know. And then you hear what was going on inside that case, should explain that people who are oppressing you, it's just like sanctions against Putin or Russia. You have to work into a different level of addressing the maladministration. So, Zelensky goes to the Zionists. Why? I mean, if you look very careful, it's the same people that end up putting him in by election early in 2014. Those Zionists are playing the fence with Russia. There's a little thing that's going through the back. I couldn't quite get it with all the information I went through. There's a little bit of thing building between Russia and Israel as well. It's maybe not so kosher since. And Russia's not also accepting that either. So consider all this, and that's another side I couldn't quite get to. So you see them fomenting, you see the Zionists, remember, they're the future, they've been positioning themselves, the Zionists positioning themselves as the electronic manufacturing technology futurists, right? They're the ones with the tricks, they're the ones with all the surveillance, with all the backdooring. Everybody agrees to it. Then we heard the NATO guy saying, well, cyber attacks would trigger Article 5 to allow us to attack Russia, and then Biden is given options for unprecedented cyber attacks against Russia. And I was thinking, that's declaration of war. Why are they even doing that? Why are you doing that if you're a peacekeeping mode? Why would you even consider it? When you've admitted you have no business in Ukraine, you have no alliance with Ukraine, they're a total different faction, you've agreed to leave it alone in the past when NATO was created, but right after NATO says cyber attacks, then Biden is given the unprecedented option of unprecedented cyber attacks. How would that not be a war? Well, their view is kind of like the murder memo. You extremists, you enemy combatants, they can shoot you on sight because some bureaucrat said so. They said as long as they don't kill people and they just destroy infrastructure, it's not making war. So I don't know who these people are. These are same people that make these rationales, but you're looking at the United States looking for angles on something they have no angle on. If this was a dogfight, they'd be out of position. And so this Biden is given that option. Now, what does that mean? That NATO is only one-sided? And what kind of an answer is that? You think you can attack Russia without being ramifications? Putin's already said you're going to suffer something. Is this really intelligent? No, this is the work of insane people that want evil or an outcome that maybe most people don't see. And I don't know that I see something. I don't know if it's going to be that outcome. It sure looks like it. But who would consider doing this? And then you find out, right after that, DODS attempts hit Russia and Ukraine as the conflicts intensify. Almost on script. You think he said no? Oh, what? Then we hear Anonymous? Who are these jerks? Anonymous, anyway. And they come up and they work for Ukraine. In other words, they work for the neo-Nazi regime that was imposed and helped into place with by Biden and his son and all the Hitleries and all these people all these things. Who are they working for that's supposed to be, fear us or whatever, we're never going away, whatever the heck they said. What kind of nonsense is all of this? that we also know the NSA has the power, the technology behind the scenes to make it look like this attacks could be coming from the United States and call it, blame anybody else in just a string of code. Because your whole infrastructure, your Internet of Things, the war domain includes the Internet. And they have that much control. Biden didn't accept, but the attacks happened on Russia. And guess what? Russia has been able to stop, well, you read the story, they've been able to stop most all of it, and so it's not a factor for them either. Well, we have another thing that's not a deterrent. Do you think that the United States is that protected? Do you think you were told the truth about the United States doing their cyber warfare security for everybody? Well, we already know this summer, or this last year actually, told us that our pipelines, everything was, our transportation system was vulnerable. Although they actually did say in that one article, they could interfere with the trains or the whatever the transportation system is. They could make a train come off the track. How that statement wouldn't be an act of war, where if your definition is you can only disturb infrastructure, not kill people, how that wouldn't be an admission that they determined to do war, make war through the cyberspace, I don't know. They actually stated that they could run trains and cause them to go off the tracks, and that would necessarily, a passenger would die, wouldn't it? And so they're willing to do that. That was actually given to Biden to consider. Also, we hear some weeks ago, North Korea internet downed by suspected cyber attacks. Again, I want to remind you, the past history of being told these attacks are going on all the time. NATO wants to use those attacks happening all the time as the reason for running into, under Article 5 of their agreement, to help fight Russia. And these things happen all the time. And so we're dealing in very dangerous ground here. I mean, I don't know what more to say to you, how tenuous this could be. And it takes it doesn't work if the other side doesn't jump on it. And so that's the only really, someone's forbearance about having to absorb this is the only thing that keeps us from going literally nuclear, apparently, at this point. And I found another website, says Ukraine News. I think it's important to watch how this thing rolls through, so I threw it in. Kyiv is now in the news, when it's not, actually doesn't pronounce that way by their own statements. And it's harder for me to, sounds like I'm something dessert I'm going to eat. I'm going to call it Kyiv. They're in the news, okay? Ukraine's in the news. It'd be nice maybe for you to, it's hard to find information. We need to keep up with that. I think for me, I keep up with these updates. Some of them are relevant, some of them are not. Just to watch how things play out. But don't get lost in them. They're just a direction on how you may one day need to protect yourself if it comes home. Because your militaries have said they're coming home. If you didn't understand what happened with Trudeau and the threat that I think he went out a little too quick and they went a little too broad, way too fast, and they showed a couple of their hands, as I identified to you, that they weren't supposed to actually show, that they're now doing here to Russia as we move this thing on. Watch how this thing is progressing. Please don't miss this point. I'm trying to go through a lineage of steps. They were doing the sanctions, which are absolutely not a deterrent. They're worthless for the purpose of a deterrent against Russia. We saw that. The fact that they went right in to Ukraine proves they could care less about all this stuff. They said that we've thought about it all. We're willing to do what we need to do. So the West, we're going to hurt you. So what do? The big question was whether or not, and it was on the table before, whether or not they would block SWIFT, SWIFT messaging system for the financing of the world, if you will, through their central banks. That was a question. Governments were not wanting to do that until Putin went into Ukraine, and that gave even Germany the reason for being as well, and agreed. That's when all the military hardware went into Ukraine. It should all be violations of law, if you will. Remember, international law is just the norms of how we would do things. It doesn't mean that they're written in stone. But let's not forget about that as well. But then we see this thing moving. They move it, again, follow the money. It finally does quickly get to the money, and they do go ahead now, apparently, the US, EU, and UK, to sanction Russian central bank to block the SWIFT messaging system for finances. The global financial system is they were thinking here and the move so fast, they actually have implemented a block. They attacked even Putin, Lavrov, a bunch of even the woman that does the press secretary. They attacked her as well. They sanctioned everybody, which is, again, they've said that they don't care, so useless. Well, SWIFT is a little bit different issue, but watch how they go and they try to cripple you. Is the point? Is if you think these nations are people, a gang of them got together and cut out someone else, and they did this. This is really amazing. But that's not even the end story. But it is an end to a means if you start looking at what's going on underneath the who is backing the 2014 issue. The United States, European Union, and UK on Saturday agreed to put in place a crippling sanctions on the Russian financial sector, including a block of its access to global financial system, and for the first time, restrictions on its central bank in retaliation for its invasion of Ukraine. Okay, well, let's go back. There's always a equal and opposite reaction. As soon as you cripple Russia's access to that financial system, whatever Russia is providing to you, and you need it, is going to be crippled as well. And what got hit immediately? But the energy sector, which was exempted in every other place. Why? People need energy. People know that the governments know that people, you can't tick off the people. It's in the middle of winter still. And so what you're now seeing is when they went after SWIFT, whatever happened through Russia and its interrelation in the global financial system was just interfered with. You think we're austere now? You think we have supply chain problems? Russia has some of the greatest production in certain areas that the United States can't necessarily match. They're claiming that they can. We're having trouble. So be very careful of what's going on. But what does that, on that, it's a reflect, it comes right back at us. We spit it out, and it's like spitting into the wind. It comes right in our face, what happens right now. This was all planned. As I said, they need Russia's energy. You can't cut them off. The first sanctions were restricted again. They didn't interfere with that energy. SWIFT may very well do it. Why? Because the people that are underwriting the insurances and the loans to buy shipping, to ship stuff through cargo, and all this, the insurance premiums that are going on, and the safetiness of it, and the war itself threatening all that, they go sky high if they're available. If you can get them. So the Western government just spit into the wind here for you. I hope you appreciate that. They're doing it to secure you. Yes, secure you. Not for your security at all. So SWIFT gets cut out. Now, what are we going to think about? Does Russia have a way to get around SWIFT? Well, not SWIFT on its own, but they do have what? They've been developing their own collateral system, just like you should locally at home. Gold and silver, even cash is better than what they're going to put on you. Why? Because they're going to that transformation to digital, right? Now, what has Russia been working on? All the denial I've been saying, hey, watch out, they're going to come with this. All the denial about digital life and a digital currency, they all the time I've been showing you how they've been working on it. All the governments have. What can Russia do to circumvent that but go to the digital currency they've been developing? Remember, it was in the news. They have a minister in the most efficient systems guy for taxation and collection through electronics, and probably in the world right now. They advertised it a couple years ago. Russia was on the forefront. Remember, you heard about the 4%? They got people to sign on to get these things, to get their app, because they were only going to charge people, 4% tax. And corporations are on the normal level. Well, that was the buy-in. They got gobs and gobs and gobs of people to jump in on that system. And their whole system now goes through their phones, goes through their electronics, their transformed society. So this is pushing Russia into that their own currency, their own digital currency, which will be balanced out in the end to do what? To bring all nations into digital consideration, globalist consideration, and control and regulation, so that the governments, the oligarchs, and each one of these governments can control each one of you better and have control of you. And so you watch this progression where they immediately went into SWIFT. They go, it was a big question. Now it's not. They pull that from SWIFT, from Russia, and what can Russia do but go ahead and rely on its, if you look very carefully, they just don't have dollar-based denominated contracts. They put them in other currencies like the yuan, which with China. They would do that to all everyone else, and then they get to go to digital currency now, and they get to have a national security claim to do so, and tell their people that's why we need to do it, to get them to buy into that too. This is genius how they figured this out. And so this is the future that they want the United States people to do. They got to hit us a little different. But it's actually going on. Whatever you think Ukraine's about, this is where it's going. This is what it's pushing. The same thing that Greta didn't get done, that COVID just ran out of steam to get done. But now they're going to get everybody. Now they can, oh, we're going to get our economy started. We got war, the drums of war, the rumors of war, the rumors of war. Yeah, remember that. Because what they're putting in is based in that war they've had against you to transform every society. And the military has been involved, and we got the proof of that. It's funny how all these stories kind of roll up. I've been telling you about it. Other people start to see it. As we hear this story from this report from Sovereign Man, Pentagon promotes socialism to combat China. Do I have to read more than the title? The story is consistent with that. I read that again. Pentagon promotes socialism to combat China. The National Defense University, NDU, is a specialty academic institution founded by the United States Department of Defense and funded by the United States taxpayers. If you don't think your consent is paying for this. NDU's aim is to provide advanced education to senior leaders in the field of national security. What did I just say about Putin? National security going to the digital. What do you think the socialism they're talking about? Promoting socialism through what? Social credit? How are you going to keep in track? What does the military need to do with all the occupied? Need to keep track of everybody. Senior leaders in the field of national security. You inside those meetings? No, none of us are. So naturally, they're focused on making the world safer through socialism. Earlier this month, the NDU hosted an event called Responding to China, the Case for Global Justice and Democratic Socialism, close quote. During the event, French economist Thomas Piketty, who argued that the global security requires, quote, promoting a new emancipatory and egalitarian horizon on a global scale and a new form of democratic and participatory ecological and post-colonial socialism. If you don't hear sustainability written all in that phrase, I don't know what to say. This all gets us back into the imposition of that, which is now this concept of global leaders. I'll just touch it just a little bit. It came up in the Twitter as well. I responded to it. This Klaus Schwab nonsense, the WEF, this is all part of this. All right? This is all underlying what's going on. And they have world leaders. And if you were reading the conversation I've been talking to you about sustainability and how we addressed it in 2013, why we came to address it, you find all these terms in all the organizations. In fact, the university system, you talk about the academics we talked about before, who come up with these things, that's the university system. They have these things called the young leader systems. They promote them from inside the academic, and they put them into place. This has been going on for decades, folks. And post-colonial socialism. You hear anything different from Russia? China? No. This is all what they're talking about, and the military is helping promote it. And we can read more, but my thought is that once you hear it, if that should shock you, then you'd want to know a little bit more. Whether you want to know more like me, that's up to you. And if you find fascination on who's attacking you and whether you want to go down that road, that's up to you. Why? Partly I can't go too deep. Most people are not interested. They would rather literally sit and watch as the oppression comes upon them and then complain that they had nothing to do and could think of nothing to do. And partly maybe why I don't have the audience I would think I would have thought I had, given the words from people that say that they stand up for being free and stand up for others as well. It just doesn't happen. It's just not happening that way. There are very few that will actually do that. And we hear the percentage, but I don't even think it's like that anymore. I don't think that we are the people, we're not the generation that we used to be. I was watching a quick little aside to something about a some big giant sailboat, the biggest at the time, 1928. I don't remember now the names of it all, but what it took to go about, I think it was Cape Horn. And when you know, seeing the video, we aren't made that way. Not only do they not make those ships, they don't make people like that anymore that I can find. They're just a whole other durability there used to be. We've evolved, apparently, outside of that. But anyway, we need to get a little bit more durable and weather the storm and be able to prevail and come up with the things that, just because it's the right thing to do, the necessary thing to do, and quit making excuses. Because we have, okay, Pentagon driving this, looking to socialism, looking, I told you their pivot to China had nothing to do with military fighting. It has to do with the new order that's coming on. I don't know how the military allows this, but you watch them as they do. We all complain about it. We laugh at it. All your military officers in skirts, we laugh at it. Why is those military officers that are complaining to be women always in skirts, though, if it wasn't some sort of a caricature? Isn't that just as unaware? Do all women wear skirts, that when you say I'm whatever that gender is, I wear a skirt to prove it? This is all caricatures of reality. But there's a real thing that the reality does settle at some point, and it's going to settle on your lap. As we see this government, and remember, I go to the Pentagon, they're pushing socialism with warp speed. We now get into this conceptualization of what we're suffering, and the repressed and oppressed people will allow until they stop it. Executive order, if you thought Trump wasn't part of all this nonsense, out of the Trump White House archives, executive order on modernizing. Remember, I told you about the word modernizing back, I think it was 2011. All these modernizing acts were the setups for the takedown in the future. The Modernizing Act for Influenza Vaccines in the United States to promote national security and public health is already in the books of the United States. If you think that this is not a setup over in Europe as well, relative to what you see called the Ukraine war. And Trump goes about and he talks about influenza viruses. Remember, we're not talking about that in COVID. And so this is a lie as well set up. And he goes about and he promotes this new technology. He did this a long time back. Remember, Trump's not the president no more. He did this before he left. If you think he's separate, he's not. You can keep focusing on your little pet projects, or you can look at reality. This is signature is September 19th, 2019. September. Before most everybody even thought about it. Trump was already ahead of it. And it was all based in national security and public health. What I told you at the time, they based it in national security, like the extension of 9/11, and you're going to have a tough go of it. And what I tried to explain, and I didn't try, I did explain, and have been explaining, and re-explain, is how I think the one last thing we have, and we have to do it in the objective basis, because they're given the determination for national security, no different than any other police power, and you're going to have to attack that for fraud. Because we're told fraud vitiates everything, the caveat being 2008 and 2009 when fraud was monetized. And I told you what was going to happen on that. That if you think this is all stopping, Trump goes ahead and puts this in before. Oh, it all sounds warm and fuzzy about how they're helping you out. But when you look between the lines, you know it's a setup. It's not going to, but it's gone exactly like that. But it's been a lie because it hasn't been influenza. It's been on novel things. Man-made chemical weapons. I think I even hear people saying, well, this looks more like a chemical. Yeah. Finally, people kind of come onto it. I may be long gone, but people will finally come onto it. And then we see, what are they moving on? What did I tell you SWIFT was going to get people to, under national security, we need to get everybody on in a digital currency because they're starving us out. This is the only way we can survive in the world, Russia says to its people, and they do. And they've got it set up so they have to, so they do anyway. And you don't think it's happening in the United States? Checking COVID-19 certificates, World Health Organization selects T-Systems as an industry partner. You need to read to see who these people are. Who facilitates 194 member states to introduce digital vaccination certificates? Solution enables countries to check electronic evidence if you don't think the coins are going to be involved there as well, and your social credit and your ability to buy, or you're not. A gateway complies with the European General Data Protection Regulation, which I bring up here as a tab as well. You're seeing that the WHO sets this up as a QR code, confirming everything I've ever told you how the setup was going to be. This has been, it's ongoing. If you think the Ukraine war, even if you think it's a cover, if you turn your attentions away from COVID and what they're pulling off, and you don't stop it, like I'm saying, this is on you. This is on all of us. We're actually going to do this before 2030. And so I don't know what to say. I have a feeling, I don't know about an escape. You're going to be hand-to-hand combat with it, but I don't know about giving me one. I think I have to figure out how to make my hand hold a phone, which I don't get and I don't have. And so National Vaccine Pass has quietly rolled out, and red states are getting on board. And you have to understand how they've done this. They've pitched two different scenarios to the two different ideologies between red or blue, whatever you want to call those two, Republican, Democrat, fascist, socialist, I don't know what you call them. They're not free, they're not protecting free, but they say that even the red states are getting on board with this vaccine pass that's been quietly making it through the system. They go state by state, just like I told you they would, folks. I don't have time to read all this. In a way, I wish I did. But then for what reason? We're wasting time if I'm going to take all the time to read on one. When I'm looking at this, I'm saying, folks, we have a house of fire. You better grab a full bucket or some other device to put the fire out, because it's your house. They're after you. They're laying the groundwork to subvert you, to put into place. They're actually forcing Russia to go ahead, and it's willing to do. Don't underestimate the connection between Putin and the world economic foundation, whatever the heck they're called. He's involved. That's what this whole thing. You look, their Sputnik V vaccine's involved in it. Their bank, I think, is the one that actually disseminated that. It's fascinating what they've done. This is rolling out right underneath this. It's not just that they start, that one stopped and covered because we found it out, and so they start the Ukraine war. No, they covered one so that you look at the next shiny thing while they continue and finalize the one that they had started before, known as COVID-19 pandemic. And then we find this, intracellular reverse transcription of Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 mRNA vaccine by BNT162B2 in vitro in the human liver cell line, where you read here that this has now been identified, that these mRNAs do in fact cause a shift in your DNA. You can read it for yourself, the study. What did you hear talking about? Well, we're talking about the reverse transcription. We're talking about the transfection. We're talking about how this thing works. It's like a zipper bringing RNA through and into an organ, a cell line that combines them, and you have what? The hybrid DNA. I don't even know why you need studies for this, but if you need a study, here it is. In fact, it does make a change in the DNA. It has to. Just how it has to. How did I find that? For as much as YouTube condemns us, and I condemn YouTube for that, YouTube's a wonderful thing, being able to see people talking to us. I don't have to go to medical school to find out people who are telling me, again, proven over and over by various people saying the same thing, what's actually going on. I don't need to be an expert. I can go see what's going on, and I can rationalize what's going on, and I can determine for myself. And I did it long before this study, and you could too, and some of you did. Thank you very much for being there to do that for yourself. As we find out, well, you think, there was a question? No, there was never a question. This is one of the main things, but you can't focus on the ramifications of it. You have to focus on they failed to demonstrate a non-fraudulent agency, which would allow them to even do this to allow it. They failed the police power determination that was required before they were given the right to have a say. Because we now find German health insurer reveals alarming underreporting of vaccine side effects. This is the underwriters. This is the actuarials. It's coming out of their pocket. Now you're going to hear the truth. Follow the money. Fascinating statement. I tried to track this down. I must have had 15 tabs, but Zero Hedge kind of pulled it all together. I'm just going to give you that. You can go and you can find out. I couldn't get enough German translations translated to help me, so I had to kind of do a second step back. But you'll hear someone from the industry making a report to the shareholders, I think it is, saying that we're not being told the truth. And then you know this is going to follow up on what they're going to cover. They're admitting there's greater harms than they're being told. Even if you could tell it before, now it's becoming official. These have greater harms. As we also find, a little warning, from the CDC about false positive syphilis tests results if you have gotten a COVID-19 vaccine. And the commenter here, Ed Free Thinking, an Oracle, Dowd Edward, who has an interesting past, I did a quick check, says that this is totally normal. I see nothing. I'm sure it's nothing where you're going to have a false positive for syphilis. Well, one of the problems is you're going to have a false positive for everything, it seems. But don't let that hide the fact. These things are dangerous. They cause changes. These tests may be good enough to pick up those changes. Your body's responding is what this COVID might, the PCR test might do. It is identifying something. It's just not telling you exactly what. But they're coming out and said we're going to have a false positive. Oh, yeah, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here at all. But this is what's going on. Yes, it is changing. It's a hybrid DNA. It has to be. That's how your body works when it brings an mRNA. The mRNA is a messenger to make the next hybrid in the DNA side. So water on the bridge for that. I told you that years and years ago. Where have we been to protect ourselves? But remember, that's mitigation side. These are the consequence of not producing a non-fraudulent exigency. And don't forget that. Don't forget, that's where you have to focus on the beginning one. Not demonstrably justified. If you think my word demonstrable exigence is funny, not demonstrably justified, says the High Court in New Zealand, as they uphold the challenge to the police and NZDF vaccination mandates, police suspends terminations. Not demonstrably justified. I'm saying there's no demonstrable exigence. Exigency. To demonstrate, demonstrable is demonstrate. Justified is exigence. These impositions are not justified. Now, their focus is wrong again. You're going to see it's focused on the medical, on the exemptions. This doesn't challenge, as I've been saying. However, you're seeing the word demonstrably and justified together, very analogous to what I've been telling you. That's required. This court catches it. It took all this before the system even stops and thinks before harming their own people. But the imposition was not justified, not because of the way I'm telling you, but because it, even underneath the fraudulent means, it's not justifiable. And you need to go follow up on that as the police suspend terminations of unvaxxed staff after high court upholds challenge to mandate. See how they did that? It's in another country. Be careful to rely on it too hard. Just find your local laws and your local standards to do the same thing. But I'm saying you have to address the fraud up front first. In other words, for a business and jobs, you're hitting directly, like in Title 29, the Secretary of Labor says that the obligation and duty is upon the employer. Once you give them notice that you're not the infectious agent or a risk, they now have to show they have to now produce the necessity for their imposition. And so I want to get back into SWIFT and back into the tying into a lot of this because I want to show you that it is partly connected. And people kind of dismiss all this, but Canada, Coinbase and Kraken CEOs report to police over tweets supporting civil liberties relative to the Canadians that the government went after the exchanges. Okay, you have to understand and be careful because the exchanges, the crypto has been determined to be a security. It's not a coin like most people think. And this, as I told you, was the very first error that the crypto companies allowed through the SEC filings. But they went right after crypto. If you think that crypto is not going to be out, crypto is absolutely involved in this, and SWIFT is telling you that it's going to be a national coin that's going to be only okay. Hope something I said today was helpful. I hope you can donate, folks, and spread the word. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Well, that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like. son. You just opened a whole case of Wolfpath.